Lord, help us pray. Lord, I lift your name on high. with a hearty praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Truly we do bless the Lord. We thank God for being here again this evening. Amen. Thank God for all that he's doing and what he is about to do. Amen. We serve a mighty good God. How many know we, our God is faithful?
Amen.
Amen. And just a reminder, our theme, I added a little more to our theme for the new year, is trust in the Lord and give him all of you. Right? That's our theme. Trust in the Lord and give him
all of you.
Because we like, sometimes we like to short the Lord and give him part of us. All of you is everything that is, it encompasses you. That's your mind, your soul, your body, your spirit, your finances, your possessions, and all of you. Amen. So if you trust God, you give him all of you. If you don't trust God, you'll hold back. Amen. And we don't want to be an Ananias and Sapphira. So truly we thank God tonight for being here. Amen. Thank God for my wife being here. We thank God for all of you being here. And so many of you, give yourselves a big hand clap. Amen. Amen. You know, it's kind of surprising. As the day gets closer, people are drifting away. This is no time to be getting away. This is time to be getting closer. Amen. The Bible said one of the greatest signs of these last days is there's going to be a great falling away. Amen. People will be departing from the faith. So tonight, we just want to, we want to touch on some of the stuff we went over last week. How many of y'all got all last week about the difference between the bride of Christ and the friend?
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Actually, I what did I say?
She said, I'm actually
going to
only two people.
Oh. Only two people. Amen. Well, you know, it's important, if we're in church, it's important not just to be here, but to also understand what we are going over, amen, because we need to be able to defend our point. You know, the Jehovah's Witness could defend their point even though they're wrong, but their Scots, the Mormons defend their point, the Muslims defend their point. And a lot of times you talk to the Christian, they talk about, I gotta go ask somebody else, amen. We should be able to defend our position, amen, especially when the Bible lets us know that if you're in the apostolic faith, that you have the greatest weight. Amen. God has given us a revelation that others have desired to have. They said kings and prophets have looked into it. And the men of old have inquired and searched diligently about this salvation. But God has revealed it unto us. So we're in a special place as far as God is concerned. Amen. So I'm gonna touch on the bride of Christ and the friend again. But also, I'm going to touch on the different parts of the resurrection. But I don't know if y'all are all ready for that again. All the different parts of the resurrection. I remember that I had ordered, quite a few years ago, I ordered Bishop G.T. Haywood's book on the different parts of the resurrection. All right, so that's it's challenging. Amen. So I said, I want you all to get spiritual indigestion. But when you really read the scriptures, and as I said on Sunday, when we start reading the scriptures and studying them and stop skimming over, we get so much more out of it, all right? So I'm going to go, let's go to Sister Gibbs. We'll start off on the first slide. John 3, we're going to read 3, 22 through 31 again. Now we're doing this for reinforcement. Now let's go, how many of y'all can tell me the difference between the bread? The friend and the bride, not surfacely, but deep. How many of y'all can tell me? So if I call people out, if I call you out randomly, you can tell me, right? Now don't look down, because if you look down, I better let me know you don't know. So don't cheat on me, all right? No, we'll go over it again, because we really need to know the difference. When you're the bride of Christ, you are in an elevated and a special position. And Jesus called those that are the bride of Christ his elect. Right? You're chosen by God when you're the bride of Christ. Amen. But the friend rejoices. But the friend won't go in the first resurrection. Amen. So we hopefully we'll get to that. I started printing out the notes, but I didn't finish them. I don't know how far we get into the resurrection. But let's start off here in John, the third chapter again. Now, what's the difference between the best friend and the bride? Let's go through this. Verse 22 reads, after these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. So as I said last week, a lot of people said that baptism isn't necessary. Who's our perfect example?
Jesus.
Was Jesus baptized?
Yes.
Yeah. So this whole third chapter of John pretty much deals with baptism. So why would the Lord devote a whole chapter to something that's not important anymore? Think about that, right? He tells Nicodemus in the beginning, you must be
born
again. Born again by confessing the Lord with your mouth and believing in your heart. That's what he said, right? He said you must be born out of what?
Water.
Born in the Spirit. He said, if you want to see the kingdom of God, he said, you cannot even enter into the kingdom. So this whole third chapter is about baptism. And then he concludes what the baptism does as we continue, all right? So it says, and John also was baptized in Enon near to Salem, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. So all this baptizing, when people say you don't have to be baptized today, those are the seducing spirits and
doctrines
of devils. Amen. Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. For John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying, which is also a form of washing or baptism. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizes, and all men come to him. In other words, they said, wait a minute, you baptize him. Now why are all men going to him to get baptized? Right? Because there was something different about baptism. All right? There's something different about John's baptism. And let's go to, I don't have this in there, but let's go to Acts the 19th chapter for a minute. All right? John's baptism. Acts the 19th chapter. Let's just read a couple of these verses to show you. A lot of people say, well, it doesn't make any difference as long as you go down in the water. It does make a difference, right? That's why they were rebaptized. Amen. Acts the 19th chapter. Now, you know, have you all ever heard the term Anabaptist? No, you go to school. You can't answer that. You cheat. I don't want theological answers. I want the regular people answering. Have you heard of Anabaptist?
Yeah.
Anabaptist. Anabaptists, way back when they were baptizing, because they weren't baptizing correctly, Anabaptists mean they were rebaptized. Right? That's what the Anabaptist was. Now, the history and the books have made all this stuff up, but the Anabaptists were rebaptized and John the Baptist. There's no scripture that shows that. We're going to read about what the Anabaptist was now. These are the only rebaptized ones in the Bible. So they made up a lot of stuff about Anabaptists and say they were the Baptists. But the Anabaptists were really the apostolics. Because even at one time in history, even the Catholics acknowledged that the Catholic Church, the Pope, acknowledged they were baptized in Rome and rebaptized a lot of their saints in the name of Jesus. Right? Until those way up high in the hierarchy of the Roman Catholic Church, because they were mixing Christianity and paganism, realize that if you do that, you are going to destroy our whole religion. So they threatened them and they stopped at rebaptizing. But that's where Anabaptists come from. All right? But let's start off in the first verse. You all have that? It says, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding a disciple is a what? Believer. Right? They are a follower. Certain disciples, amen. He said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye
believe?
You are a believer. So you know what he said? He said, well, if you're a believer, that means you got baptized in Jesus' name and you got filled with the Holy Ghost, because that was how they would recognize everyone as believers back then. You had to be baptized in Jesus' name, be filled with the Holy Ghost. So he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believe? They said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any
Holy Ghost.
And he said unto them, wait a minute, if you don't know about the Holy Ghost, you couldn't have been baptized right. Because if you got baptized right, you know you get baptized in Jesus' name and you're filled with the gift of the what? He said, well, if you don't know about the Holy Ghost, then how were you? He said, what were you baptized unto that you don't know about the Holy Ghost? Amen. Unto what were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, sin unto the people that they what? They should come after that is on who? Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were Anabaptists. They were what? Baptized in the name of the Father. Baptized in the name of the Son. Baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost. They were what? And when Paul laid his hand upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they were, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. So these were rebaptized. The thing is, if it didn't make a difference in the baptism, why were they rebaptized? Right? Because there's one Lord, faith, and what? One baptism. So. We were speaking to, actually to my wife's doctor. She was asking questions about, she said, you all are Protestant. What does that mean? So in the doctor's office, she took time to witness. Because the doctor wanted to get in church. She said, but I keep hearing all these different religions. I just want to know I want to find the right way. And my wife told her, well, she said, well, you keep searching. Because in the day that you search, see God then with what? All your heart, you'll find it. Amen. She said, because my family, we weren't in church. She said, I want my kids to grow up in church. She said, so I'm searching out the truth. Amen. So it's so important today. The truth is very important because only the truth can make you free. So these were rebaptized because they were only baptized unto John's baptism. But John only baptized saying you should believe on him, which should come after. Right, so it's so important, okay? So now let's go back. Actually, let's go to the 18th chapter for a minute. Let me read something here in the 18th chapter just to show you what a mighty, mighty God we serve. Either the 18th or later, yes. Is it 24? Okay, here we go. Let's read. Now, these are all believers. You understand? So believing is not enough. If these were all believers. Believers are not enough. So the 24th verse says, and a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and what? Mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord. He had been taught. Being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, but he only knew what? He only knew the baptism of John. Right? So he was fervent in the spirit. He loved the Lord. He followed the Lord. But he was limited in his understanding of baptism. So it says, and he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. For when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took unto him and expounded unto him the way of God. So when you understand the baptism in Jesus' name, if you feel the Holy Ghost, you understand the way of God, what? More perfectly. So if there's a more perfect way, then there's a not so perfect way. Amen? If you experience him the way of God more perfectly. And then later Paul talks about Apollos and knows. Why? Because he was converted. Why? Because he was baptized in Jesus' name. So that's so important that we understand the significance of being baptized in Jesus' name. Yes, he was mighty in the scripture. He was eloquent. He was powerful. But he was limited in his understanding. So the reason that we have these Bible classes, we want to be powerful, but with the understanding. Amen? Wisdom is the principal thing. Get wisdom, and then all thy getting, get what? Understanding. All right? So let's just continue in this, what we're reading. They came to John. We read that part. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except to be given to him where? From heaven. You yourself bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the what? Bridegroom. But the friend of the bride. rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom voice. He said, this my joy is fulfilled. He must increase and I must decrease. Amen. So John says, well, he is the bride. He said, but the friend of the bridegroom. All right. So why would John only be the friend? All right. Why would he only be the friend? All right. So we all know, all of y'all that's been married, when y'all got married, y'all kept your first names. Your last name. I'm not talking about your first name. I know you kept your first name. Your last name. Your first last name is what I meant. All right, so when you all got, so Brooke, you still Brooke Simon?
Yeah.
You who?
Jordan.
Well, why are you Brooke Jordan? You sure? All right. So all of you ladies, whatever your previous name is, we'll go by first and last, it's going to be politically correct. All of you ladies have taken on whose name? That lets you know that you already say it's what? Bride. All right. So the question is, what is the difference between the bride and the friend? It has to be the what? The name, all right? Because, let's go to, I'm going to jump around a little bit more here because I don't want to read all of this, but let's go to John, no, actually let's go to the book of Luke. Let's go to Luke chapter 1. Tanya, I think that's, I forgot what number your slide is, but you see Luke 1, 13 through 15. All right. Now, we're talking about John the Baptist. So John said, I'm the friend, but he who has a bride is the bridegroom. So what was the difference to, why did John, wasn't he part of the bridegroom? Because he never took on a name. Amen? Part of the bride, right? He never took on a name. Matter of fact, John knew the greatness. He knew the superiority of being baptized of Jesus. That's why when Jesus went to him to get baptized, John said, no, I have a need to be baptized of you. Jesus said, no, we got to do what the Bible says. We got to fulfill all righteousness. He said, in other words, we're going to show you what's right. But let's go to Luke 1:13 to show you the difference between the bridegroom and the bride. So the Pentecostals are the friend because they do have the Holy Ghost. But they are not the bride. I was just speaking to someone recently, and I told him, if you're in a situation where you can't help it, you have to stay there. But if you have options, you're never supposed to go backwards in Christ. Amen. You can't. The Bible says, walk in the light is what? So when God gives you the revelation of the baptism in Jesus' name, there's light. You're not supposed to go from light backwards. Amen. You're not supposed to be, say, well, there's not a church. Go to that church so you help God get it right and God give you a choice, a chance, or something different, right? Because what's happening lately now is apostolics don't know the difference between apostolic, Pentecostals, and Baptists. Actually, I edited this. I won't let this go on the internet. But I asked Bishop a question. I said, Bishop, I'm kind of confused with our international PAW national convention. He said, well, what do you mean? I said, Bishop Paul Warren is what? He said, he's full gospel. Full gospel what? Baptist, yes, right. I said, why would they allow him to preach at the national convention with all those young people there? I said, because you know what they tell them? Then there's no difference between the apostolics and the Baptist. I said, who in the world would approve that? Bishop, he said, listen to me, I already know. He said, you're absolutely right. He said, the Bible said these last days is going to be a great falling away. So you know what happened? Then you let him preach there in at the national convention, the apostolic convention, full gospel Baptist. It's different if you go to a Baptist convention, you bring in light. But somebody that don't have light can't bring light. Amen. So I said, well, Bishop, I don't understand. Because all these thousands of people that were there, then they said, well, there's no difference between apostolic and full gospel Baptist. I said, so I had a problem with that. I said, I support it. I said, well, what message? He said, listen, I'm in full agreement with that. He said, a lot of the apostolics have taken apostolics off their name now because they're trying to draw people. They become, what do you call them now, community churches or something like that? Huh? Worship centers and stuff like that because they don't want that apostolic tag because they can draw more people and get more money. I said, you know what? God never told us to compromise. So I told him, I said, listen, I was supporting that, but I was extremely confused because you told all these thousands of people at the National Convention it doesn't make a difference when you're in that full gospel Baptist preacher up there. I said, now, if he was going to have a concert and sing a song, that's different. But you had him up preaching, right? And you know what? Now, he does a lot, but he always ends all of his preaching with a song because that's what he can do. But he can't give us truth, right? So why would you tell all these people it's okay? So then if your saints go to his church or some of their convention, you got a problem? No, you started it. Because we should have never, I said, basically, I don't understand that. You know, how we would have, you know, now there are a lot of apostolic preachers out there too, different organizations. Have them come up. Why have full gospel Baptists? Because these are the times we're living in if we're not careful. All right, let's go to Luke. Yes.
Just with what you said about the just for clarification. Now you said if you are baptized not in the name of Jesus, name of Father, Son, Holy Ghost, whatever, that you're the friend.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with that.
But what I was gonna ask, I don't know if you're gonna cover this. What if you're baptized in Jesus' name, but you didn't receive the Holy Ghost? Where does that put you?
You gotta get it.
Does that put you at a friend or a?
If you don't have both, you can't be holy.
Okay, so then you.
That means you have to be righteous.
Okay.
Right. The only way you can be holy is you have to have the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost means is the Greek word hagios. It means that you have been set apart. You're different. Well, how can you be set apart if you don't have the Holy Ghost? Hagios also means to be sanctified, right? So if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you don't have the whole baptism,
right? Well, we're talking about the taking on of the name.
That's the name, right? But you have to have the water and the Spirit. That's why he said on the day of Pentecost, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the what? Remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. We're going to go over it a little later. The Bible said what helps you go from earth to glory is the Holy Ghost. That's what transforms you is the Holy Ghost. So if you don't have the Holy Ghost, how do you get that transformation? How, when the Lord appears in the cloud in the sky, how do you go back with him? Because the power to go is in the Holy Ghost. So how do you go back if you don't have the Holy Ghost? Right? That's why it's important to get the Holy Ghost. And let the Holy Ghost be in you. Actually, we have it somewhere a lot later. We probably won't get to it tonight. What's the name?
I just wanted to say one of the reasons why a lot of the newer saints are struggling is because the power of the Holy Ghost they don't have.
That's right.
And it's that power that's going to lead and guide and help them to have the God consciousness that they don't have yet.
Right. Because what at once, he said, after you receive the Holy Ghost, you really receive what? So until you receive the Holy Ghost, you don't have the full power. After that you receive the Holy Ghost, you should have power. Amen. I think it says in Romans, if the power dwell in you that raised Jesus from the dead. What power in you raised Jesus from the dead? That's what's also going to quicken our bodies. So when the Lord appears, that same power that raised Jesus is going to raise us up too. So how do you rise up if you don't have it? I get you out there, Sister Ken. Wait, hold on. Let me get you out there, elementary, out there, get Sister Ken.
You were just
hold on. Then we get elementary, and that was
there are many Christians that believe that, talk about that they have the Spirit of God, and they mentioned about having the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And I would.
Well, it's interchangeable. The Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. That's interchangeable.
But no, but nominal. But I mean, I'm talking about. I'm not being apostolic or Pentecostal. Being led by the Spirit.
There are Baptists that have. This day and age, they'll get the Holy Ghost too.
Without speaking in tongues.
Well, that's the only way we do get the Holy Ghost.
They believe that they have the Spirit of God, that they're led to, that God leads them and has led them to different things.
All right, I had this debate with a pastor.
Yeah.
Let's go to Acts 8 chapter. The only way we know we got the Holy Ghost is you have to hear them speak in tongues. All right, I'll get you on Mac. Let me go here for a second. Let's go to Acts. I think it's the 8th chapter. I haven't done this one in a minute. Yeah, Acts 8th chapter. All right. Now everywhere in the Bible, from the 7th chapter of Acts to the 16th chapter of Acts to the 10th chapter of Acts, every time they received the Holy Ghost, how do you know they received the Holy Ghost? Because they what? They heard them what? Speak with tongues. All right. So a lot of people say, well, you can feel when you have the Holy Ghost. Now, this is about Simon, all right? We know Simon was the sorcerer, right? And he got baptized. All right, so we're going to skip all of the preliminary. Let's go to verse 15, all right? Because after they got baptized in Jesus' name, they had not yet received the Holy Ghost, okay? So it says, verse 14 says, now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come, prayed for them that they might, because they had received it. For as yet he was fallen on none of them, only they were. Do you know how it's important? They said, here's the church, go down there, make sure they get the Holy Ghost. Because they only have the baptism in Jesus' name. Alright? Then they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon
saw
what?
The laying on of the hands.
They received the Holy Ghost. He tried to do what? He tried to. Right? So if receiving the Holy Ghost is just a feeling, we know that Simon could not see their feelings. Amen? So what did Simon see? He saw them speaking in tongues. Right? Because a lot of people said, you can just feel it. Well, Simon said, whoa. When he laid their hand on those, they began to speak. He said, give me, I got money, give me that power. And he said, your money perish with the using. You're in the gall of bitterness. Amen? And not only that, this Simon is the Simon that really went to Rome. And this is the beginning of the Catholic Church. This Simon is who they really went to Rome. Simon Peter never went to Rome. This is the Simon that began the Catholic Church because he mixed paganism with Christianity. All right, so we'll go over that another time. All right. All right, hold on. Let me get Mel Mackey first. Then we'll come back. So that's how you know you got the Holy Ghost. You have to see and hear. If you don't hear, then we don't know.
Two things. To add to what Sister Kim is asking, in the natural, when a baby's born, the water's broken first.
Right.
And when the baby comes out of the womb, how do you know the baby's alive?
Right.
The doctor slaps the baby on the backside,
yeah.
And the baby lets out a noise.
Yeah.
So as it is in the natural, so it is in the spirit.
Exactly. That's why you gotta be born of the water and
of
the spirit. Right? Because the first birth came through the water.
Because a lot of people don't believe you have to speak in tongues to have the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, but that.
And a lot of them don't. They on there trying to teach about the Holy Ghost and they don't even have it.
Because they don't understand it. But that's why I'm saying it's such a travesty. It's an insult to God's face for God to bless you with truth and then you go counter the truth. Right? How does God bless you with the truth and then you go to nominal? Well, it's just what we want. The Bible says that we're supposed to walk in the
light.
Well, I feel comfortable that anyway, what the Bible says, right? Because you got to remember, we live in a day of seducing spirits and what? Doctors of devils. So the devil would, he would, what the devil would do is deceive you. To deceive you means to lead you away from truth, away from God. Amen. So we don't want to do that. Sister Kim, we get, oh, thank you, have another
one? I just wanted to ask a question. I believe I have the answer, but confirmation from you. The people that go to church and are religious.
Yes.
Those that don't get baptized in Jesus' name, and those that don't have the Holy Ghost, what classification are they in?
If they do it, all they know to do, they're righteous.
Righteous?
Right. Because look, everybody prior to Jesus that died, what are they? Righteous. Righteous.
So they're walking in all the light that they know.
Yeah, and that's what the Bible says. If you don't know, God won't hold you accountable for something you don't know. So all of those that died, but when we get to the resurrection, we won't get to this week. When we get to the resurrection next week, it'll show you there's two resurrections. The first resurrection is for the holy. The next resurrection is for the sinner and the righteous. And that last resurrection, that's when Jesus separates the sheep from the goat. In that resurrection, right? Because in the first resurrection, ain't no goats gonna be in that one. That's the first resurrection. Who's going in that? The holy. So how does he separate the sheep from the goat? That's in that second resurrection. Because the Bible said the first resurrection, death has no power over those who goes in the first resurrection. But death has power over those in the second resurrection, because the righteous, that's when he separates the wheat sheep from the goats. Right? Because ain't no goats in that first resurrection. Only the holy in the first resurrection.
Just to clarify, what Sister Kim was asking too was,
how you clarify?
Because I talked to her. She wasn't asking whether or not they were filled with the Holy Ghost. What she was asking was, you have Christians, let's say, specifically a lot of missionaries even, that say that they were led by the Spirit to maybe go to another country and to minister. They're not filled with the Holy Ghost. She's asking, is that really spirit?
Yes, because that's it's like a conviction.
Yes, that's
right.
What
so if you're living, if you have a conviction about God, God still will lead you. All right, God can still lead you with a conviction.
Yes.
You might not have the Holy Ghost, but if you're convicted and you believe in something, you got to remember God. Everything about God, and this is what we have to remember about God. God is not up there like some big bully trying to destroy everybody. Everything God does, if your heart is right, God's going to do things to try to draw you closer to him. Amen. It says it's good that a man should draw near unto God. Right? Draw nigh unto God, and God will do what? Draw nigh unto you. So there are people that will be led by the Spirit. If you're praying to God, then, listen, I wasn't saved. I was probably a bit with the big sinner. I was probably a big sinner, but I remember in my lifetime, God led me to do stuff and not do stuff, and I knew it was God, right? But I had a hunger and a thirst, right? So the Bible says, if you hunger and thirst, you shall be filled. So there are a lot of people that do stuff out of a conviction, and even in that conviction, if other people around you will feel an anointing, because the Bible says the Spirit bears witness with the truth. So it doesn't mean they have the Holy Ghost, but you bear witness with their conviction. But that doesn't mean they have the Holy Ghost. They're still just a friend until they get it all the righteous. That's it? All right, so we went all around Ron and Barnes, but we were But, yes.
Speak to the fact of the people who, because we're saying we have to hear them speak. You know,
yes.
You know by speaking in tongues.
Yes.
I'm not being funny, but I have heard a lot of stuff come out of people's mouths
that
does
all,
not
that
sound
ain't,
like
yeah, I heard a lot of stuff too. But you know, in churches, right? In churches where the leadership, if the leadership tells someone they have the Holy Ghost, you know, it's not up to us to question or challenge that. There are all kind of different cultural things that goes into receiving the Holy Ghost. Like I was in the church, I was like, hey, when are we going to have to get the Holy Ghost? They said, they've had the Holy Ghost for the last 10 years. I said, okay. shut the brother out. I did, right? Because they said, oh, they've been there at the Holy Ghost, right? So that each leader has to be accountable for those souls and in the church, you know? So we can't go around saying who don't have it, don't sound like they have it. But one thing for sure, if somebody has the Holy Ghost, the Bible said the Spirit is supposed to bear
witness
to the Spirit. So if the business don't matter, if this witness, if the Spirit don't matter, witness to the Spirit, it's a very difficult thing. But the thing is, if it's not up to us to judge, and only God judges that. There are different tongues, there are different kinds of tongues. You know, so if people get the Holy Ghost in the church that does it a certain way, and if that's the way they get it, that's the way they get it. And also, well, it's like when I got the Holy Ghost. Okay, when I got the Holy Ghost, like I said, I got baptized in Jesus' name. Basically, get the Holy Ghost. I was like, absolutely, don't go under that. I just did not want, you know, because we were down south. We hear ghosts, you go the opposite direction. You know, seriously, we just didn't mess with no ghosts. So they say Holy Ghost. I said, got baptized in Jesus' name. Start, finish. No part of the Holy Ghost. Actually. So I think I was in church for well over a month, and everybody thought I had the Holy Ghost. I told them in the beginning, nope, I don't want the Holy Ghost. I was doing it in my ignorance. I just didn't know, right? So one day they would have someone else in the front of the room get the Holy Ghost, and all of a sudden I was in the back and started speaking in tongues. So they said, everybody got the Holy Ghost, get up and give your testimony. I got up and gave my testimony. Right? Nobody helped me get the Holy Ghost. I had a desire, and God gave me the Holy Ghost. Right? So, if a person wants it bad enough and they desire it, God wants you to have the Holy Ghost. That's why he died. So, God will give you the Holy Ghost. But you have to seek it with all your heart. And the Bible says, what happens to the reason a lot of people don't have the Holy Ghost? If you read about it in the 5th chapter of Acts, read it in your spare time. It said, God give the Holy Ghost to them that obey him. So, if you don't obey God, will God give you the Holy Ghost? No. Right, so a lot of people want to come to church, and as Isaiah said in the 4th chapter, they want to wear their own apparel, right? They want to eat their own food. They want to do everything to fit in, to be called by his name, but they don't want to really give up what they've been doing. Right? God won't fill you with the Holy Ghost if you sell out completely. As long as you hold on to anything, he won't fill you with the Holy Ghost. So you can be baptized in Jesus' name until you get the Holy Ghost. You don't have the power to go from earth to glory. That's what helps you to rise. And that's why it's so important that people understand that. I just want to read, let me see if I can, does anybody, somebody else make some comments while I do this right quick. I'll move this up. Let me just finish this. We'll come back to this. I'll go back to that because it's going to be all over. Let's go back to Luke, the first chapter, just to show you, how powerful John the Baptist was in his ministry, but he still was only the friend. So verse 13 of Luke 1 says, But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And then verse 14, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. Talking about John, because the good thing about this angel, he named him John, right? Because remember when John was born, everybody said, no, you can't call him John. Nobody in your family is named John. His name has to be Zacharias. And they were arguing about it. So remember that time Zacharias couldn't speak because he didn't believe what the angel told him. So he was dumb. He couldn't speak. So they gave Zacharias a piece of paper. They said, what shall his name be? Zacharias said, John. That showed he believed the angel. His tongue was loose. He began to speak, right? Because up to that time, he couldn't speak. Once he wrote down, his name shall be John, God said, okay, now I know you got it. He loosed his tongue, right? So when we act in obedience, God does marvelous things, all right? So it says, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be
filled
with
the Holy Ghost.
Where?
Even from his mother's
womb, all right? Then let's go to Matthew 11:11. All right. Even from his mother's womb, he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. Right? So he was filled with the Holy Ghost. But let's want to see what Jesus says about them that in the church and compare it to John. All right? You all with me, Shim? So let's go to Matthew 11, chapter 11, verse. Actually, I should read a couple of verses before. Let's start off in verse 7. Okay, now we're talking about John. Okay, it says, "And they departed." Ty, you should have that on your slide. See that one? I don't know which. It's right before what we just read. It's the slide right before Luke. Okay, so let's go Matthew 11, 7. "And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitude concerning who? John. What went ye out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, what? He's more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than what? Nobody is greater than just that's born of women. That's the key. That's the clue. Born of women. But when you're born of God, that's not a woman, that's a greater calling. All right, rise greater than John the Baptist, but he that is what?
Greater than
he. Well, what's the difference? If you're born of women, they're not greater, but if you're born in the kingdom, you're greater. But John was born with the Holy Ghost. So you mean after all that, John's going to not make it? Absolutely, John's going to make it. He's going to make it with the righteous, right? Revelation 11, 22 say, He that is righteous, let him be righteous.
Yeah.
He that is holy, let him be holy.
Yeah.
But he won't go in the first resurrection, because the first resurrection for those that are in Christ. All right, yes.
Real quick, could an argument be made that even people who are born in the name of Father, Son, Holy Spirit and do not have the gift of the Holy Ghost?
Yeah.
Are even in a different position than John the Baptist was, because John the Baptist had part of it. He was born with the Holy Ghost.
John the Baptist, listen, now we talk, the difference is, them that are born among women, when you're born in church, it ain't among women.
No,
that's
saying,
a whole different point.
But what I'm saying is, we were saying that those that were born were baptized not in the name of Jesus, but baptized unto repentance,
yes.
That they were in the same category as John the Baptist. But not really so unless they hold the Holy Ghost, because
no,
he was born with the Holy Ghost.
Some
of them don't even have the Holy Ghost.
He said, one women that right now, another they greater than John the Baptist. Not only is they greater, he said, he's greater than the prophets. Jeremiah, Isaiah, none of them. Listen, all these prophets, they couldn't compare. Moses couldn't compare. Elijah couldn't compare. They all got the Holy Ghost, but the difference is they weren't born.
Yeah.
With the Holy Ghost. So none of them could even come measure up to John. Not only was he born with the Holy Ghost, but he had a special mission that no man in life has ever had. Run of Christ. So that's a distinct position that no one else has ever occupied or can have. Amen? Yes.
He said there were different degrees of reward.
Yes.
When we get to our destination, there's different degrees.
Bible like says, as your word shall be.
Yes.
Right. So,
even though he's not going in the first resurrection,
right.
When you're comparing him to all of the other ones, there are different degrees of reward that God has in store for those people that perform different duties.
Yes, and I'm working on that one. Because I don't want to just teach on what I've heard without confirming what I heard, but the Bible says, as your work shall be. So you got somebody like Paul, the Apostle Paul, that did great works. Paul said, he said, not that I'm on a boasting, but he said, I excel them all in works, in labor, in love. So So it's impossible to believe that those of us, those that haven't done what John has and Paul has done, are going to have the same reward of the tall hand. Amen. So there are going to be differences. I just didn't get to that part yet because I'm working on this. But they are supposed to be. The scripture says it. We're going to have a different reward based on our works. You gotta remember, there are a lot. There are a lot of people that are going to be in church, right? But they're just in church. They just, thank God they're in church. But they're not going to get the same reward as those that have labored in the vineyard. There's a difference, right? So that's why it's so important that all of us should find something that we should do to show God we want to be counted worthy. We'll never be worthy, but our works show that we want it to be counted worthy. Amen? All right, is that it? All right, I think that's pretty much all of our, that's pretty much Eric. Let me see what else did I go over last week that I might want to highlight, because I think we kind of went over everything. We all know how we get in Christ, right? And go to Romans the 6th chapter. We'll go to Romans the 6th chapter. It's almost time to finish now. What do you say, Tanya? Yes. I think. I don't know. Yes. Romans 6 is a couple of slides after what you just went over. You got it? So we're going to read Romans 6, 3 through 6. And then we're going to read 22 through 23 and also Galatians 3, 27, 28. Okay? This is the only way this Bible tells us how we get in Christ. Right? And what's so good about God is we don't have to guess whether he is Christ or not. Now, you got to remember, we're living in a day and age now where there's a whole lot of dynamics happening, there's a whole lot of popularity happening, but God's not in a lot of this stuff. Right? Actually, I was telling people, they have this guy, Stephen Dollond. He was a ex-occultist, druid, all that stuff. He got saved. And he was teaching, he teaches this series called The Occult in Your Living Room. He said he'd go to the average Christian home and fill up a box with all kinds of occult stuff. He said, then they wonder, this is what he said. He said, you Christians wonder why you get sick, why your marriages are falling apart, why your kids you can't control them, why you struggle on addiction stuff. He said, you got to get a lot of that occult stuff out of your houses. Right? So I have found them, but they actually took it off of YouTube and everything. They took them off of everything. I can only find them in one place, and I'm trying to copy it now before they get rid of it. Years ago, you can find it all over, but they have taken them off of everything because he exposes everything, from Pokemon to Harry Potter. He goes through the whole thing. These it's a kid's cartoon called, you saw him? Yeah, but that's not. They only got the word. I was trying to get the one where he teaches. That's just the radio, right? You said Prophecy Club, the radio. Yeah, they had the other one where he had, because you can't see anything on the radio. So they left the radio on there because you can't see all the stuff he's demonstrating. You can find that, right? But they actually had he had a 4-hour series of point. What's it? These towers. What are these little things? No, the kid, it's something that the kids are watching. They got some stuff, some research stuff that they're doing too, that they're doing. He's updated it with some more recent stuff that they're not the Pokemon. This is a cartoon. I see it, they have the kids on now. Well, what he's saying is, because parents aren't realizing, they don't realize it is, a lot of this stuff has so much occult stuff in it. It's a whole lot of occult. So we're going to go over it. But let's go to Romans, the 6th chapter. I found the radio part, but it don't show you all the stuff he's showing you. You can only hear it, but you can't see it. You know, but he shows you all of the occult stuff that all of these kids' cartoons. And they said the reason that, This is what he said. The educator said, we have to train these kids how to think. He said, wait a minute. I thought the parents and the home was supposed to train the kids. Right? So then part of the training he's going over, which is recently, he said, they said that you can't, you have to teach kids there's two women in the house for marriage, the tolerance, that they're both is normal. To have a woman and a woman instead of a man and a woman. It's all a part of the indoctrination. But he was going over some of the cartoons, he said, because of what people don't realize a lot of the males in the cartoons, these cartoons are dressed like females. A lot of them are dressed like females because what they're doing is training the kids that don't make a difference. Right? So he goes through quite a bit. And as he's explaining, it really makes sense. But let's go to Romans. How do we get in Christ? It says, know ye not that so many of us as were what?
Baptized
into who? We're baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And if we compare Galatians 3:27-28, says, for as many as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And then the rest of Romans 6 said, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And verse 22 said, but now being made free from sin and become the servants of God, ye have under what? Holiness. And the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. We just keep going on to 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Well, why is it so important to be in Christ? Right? Why is it important to be in Christ? He said, I will not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are asleep. Right? But verse 16, for our time, we're just going to do 16. He said, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a what?
Shout.
With a shout, with the voice of the
Christ,
and with the trump of God, and the dead in
Christ.
So if you're not in Christ, you're not going to rise. So how do you get in Christ? After the baptism. That's why John wanted to be baptized. Right? But he couldn't get baptized because Jesus was not yet glorified. He had not been killed. The baptism didn't actually start until the day of Pentecost. He said, what did Jesus baptize unto? I certainly don't know, but it wasn't in his name. Right? He couldn't baptize in his name. Right? Because everybody on the day of Pentecost had to be rebaptized. Right? Because they all had to be baptized in Jesus' name. Amen? I think that's pretty good. Did anybody else have any questions, any comments, anything else? Okay, yes.
Well, I didn't. I just said that.
Where's your mic at? I didn't hear your mic. Yeah, you don't. You have to be able to.
I just said what I forget a lot of times in the narrative, and why the light bulb just went off for me. Why John? You're saying John the Baptist couldn't be baptized in Jesus' name because his glory hadn't been fulfilled yet.
Yes.
And I'm like, well, why didn't he just get baptized? That's what. And then it just dawned on me that he died before Jesus.
Yeah, he definitely.
So that's why
he died before Jesus.
That's why I couldn't be baptized in Jesus. Because I've been confused, like, I don't understand. Why
Actually, let me read this here. Jesus' ministry didn't start until, let's go to Matthew, Ty, go to Matthew, the fourth chapter. No, it's not in Numbers. All right. Jesus' ministry, Jesus was driven of the angel, of the spirit, out into the wilderness And he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, right? He was being tempted of the devil. Then he comes back and the devil tries to tempt him. All these things we're going to give you, right? Then the devil leaves him for a season. But then after that it says in Matthew 4:12, now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the seacoast, in the border of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region of the shadow of death, light sprung up. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent. So Jesus didn't even begin his public ministry until John was in prison, because they couldn't have their ministry going coincide, right? Because once he was in prison, then Jesus began his ministry, all right? So John was the forerunner, but he told them, he said, I'm not the light. I'm come to bear witness of the... He said, the Bible said, listen, he's the true light, the light of every man that cometh into the world. Amen? Yes, Kim. Where's your mic? Oh. All right, so, I didn't get a chance to put out notes for the resurrection, but we, Lord willing, we'll go over the importance of the resurrection and the several parts of the first resurrection. Yeah, we have the notes next week. Yes?
You know, I was just wondering, is it possible to submit questions prior to Bible class? Or just to stay ahead of time?
Well, it's all according to what the questions are. If they're within the context of what we're going, because we good, if we submit, you can submit it, but we'll see if we'll answer.
Because I remember.
Write your questions down and keep them in a little
I remember just having a brief conversation with you about staying on topic, and then you were like, well, people have a lot of questions.
Well, yeah, but if you write it down, because especially when new people come in, there's some subjects, like the resurrection, I don't think I would teach the resurrection if a lot of new people were here. Because some soft topics are just not good for people that have just getting into church. So you can write them down and ask them, but we're not necessarily will deal with each one unless it fits within the scope of what we do, where we're going. Because some questions will be up here, and some questions will be down here. So we have to kind of like keep it so that everyone kind of understands what we're doing. All right. It's the purpose is for us to add clarity and. It basically, like Bishop was telling me, so that saints, he said some of his well-meaning saints that have left church, there's some stuff now that they know better than to be in.